Greetings, friends, and welcome to the DecaLedge podcast, companion to the DecaLedge blog. I'm Matt Boutte, your author and host. Today's episode is one of two that we recorded at the 2022 Burney Book and Arts Festival and is unlike anything we've done before. In this episode, I had the privilege of moderating one of the panels at the book festival, and it couldn't have been more fun. This panel was the last of the day and appropriately titled The Wind Down. I was joined in this conversation by the authors Sarah Bird and James Wade, and by Sarah Potter from Bending Branch Winery. We, and the in-person audience under the pecan trees of Burney's Town Square, tasted Bending Branch wines and then talked about the books we thought would pair best with those wines. If you're wondering, the invitation to get on stage and drink wine and talk about books probably means my life has peaked, though I'm hopeful we get to do it again next year. Was it a little tongue-in-cheek? Of course. Was it fun? It was every bit as much fun as you can imagine. The Bookfest has lots of great sponsors, all of whom deserve recognition, but the wind down couldn't have happened without Bending Branch Winery. Bending Branch sits on 56 acres near the Guadalupe River outside of Comfort, Texas. Established in 2009 by the Young family, Bending Branch is best known for its experimentation in every facet of winemaking, including fermentation methods and production processes. Co-owner and winemaker Robert Young coined the term Next World Wines to describe his winemaking philosophy. Bending Branch's wines include their award-winning Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Sirah, Picpoul Blanc, and my personal favorite Tanat, Tempranillo, and Suzhou. Again, we couldn't have done the wine down without Bending Branch Winery, and I'm grateful for their participation. I'm also grateful to the Patrick Heath Public Library for putting on the event and for inviting Sarah Bird, James Wade, and I to participate. And now, please enjoy the wind down from the 2022 Burney Book and Arts Festival. Thanks, y'all, for being here. So don't drink your wine. We're gonna taste wine. We're going to do it one at a time. But definitely want to say thank you to Robin Stauber and Karen Creech in the Burney Public Library. This event is their work, and they've been awfully supportive of me and the DecaLedge podcast, and I appreciate that. We also want to thank Kay and Bride Moon, HEB, Friends of the Burney Public Library, Frost Bank, BEC, the Hill Country Mile, Burney Public Library Foundation, and my favorite sponsor, Bending Branch Winery. All right, let's see. Who do we have up here on the stage with me? We have Sarah Potter. Sarah is the Executive Marketing Coordinator for Bending Branch Winery. Prior to joining the team in 2016, Sarah worked for a small publishing company where she coordinated professional development workshops for educators and traveled the U.S. selling books and resources to teachers and administrators. She quickly learned that it's much more fun selling wine than books. Sarah's a Burney native and lives in Waring with her husband, two daughters, and six cats. Then we have Sarah Bird. Sarah lives and works in Austin, Texas, with her husband, son, and arguably the cutest corgi in the world. That's what I hear. Sarah is the author of 11 novels. Her latest, Last Dance on the Starlight Pier, was published by St. Martin's Press in April of this year. In addition to her novels, Sarah has written screenplays for television and magazine articles for national women's magazines. She adapted her novel, The Boyfriend School, into a screenplay for the 1990 movie, Don't Tell Her It's Me. And she's written screenplays for National Geographic Channel and Hallmark, as well as the CBS movie Yesterday's Children. Then we have James Wade. James lives and writes in the Texas Hill Country with his wife and daughter. He's the author of River Sing Out and All Things Left Wild, a winner of the prestigious MPIBA Reading the West Award for Debut Fiction, and a recipient of the Spur Award for Best Historical Novel from the Western Writers of America. His forthcoming novel, Beasts of the Earth, will be released on October 11th from Blackstone Publishing. Let's welcome everybody up on the stage.
Show the product.
All right, so Sarah Potter, as we said, this is a wine tasting. We're gonna attempt to taste some wine, and then we're gonna do our best to pair some books with that wine. So maybe as we begin, why don't you talk to us just for a minute about how we taste wine and why we have these wines in this order.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for having us at this event. We're so excited to be here. So typically when you're doing a wine tasting, you're going to start from your lightest colored wines and go to the darkest. So we're going to start with the Picpoul Blanc today. Just a little bit about Bending Branch. We are just right up the road in Comfort, and we are known for our big, bold red wines. Our owner, Dr. Bob Young, is a retired physician, so he is all about the health benefits of red wine. So the more tannins there are... healthy wine. The more tannins there are in a wine, tannins are like natural antioxidants. So the more of that you drink, the better it is for you. Ha ha. Within moderation. So just basic wine tasting. You don't chug wine, you sip wine. The first thing you want to do is always just look at the wine and make sure it's not cloudy and there's nothing weird in it, or... You want to give it a good swirl.
Maybe make note of the color.
Right, yeah, note of the color, of course. And Matt, he's a wine club member. He knows about wine.
That's why I'm up here.
So you're going to give it a swirl, and you want to really just put your nose in there and take a whiff of all the flavors. Picpoul Blanc is high in natural acidity. It's kind of a big, bold white wine, so that's why our Dr. Bob loves this wine. And then you'll just want to take a sip.
Very
really
nice.
Coat your mouth.
Hey, Robin. This wine smell or tastes like smoky blackberry.
Oh, yeah.
I know
like
I went. Yeah. It does. She offered a bottle of tequila to the first one of us that could say that. And so since I am moderating, I get to go first. Okay, so we're tasting this Picpoul Blanc. Very nice. This is a wine with grapes grown on the Texas High Plains.
Yes, so on your table, by the way, October is Texas Wine Month, so happy Texas Wine Month, everybody. So most of the grapes that we source are from the Texas Hill Country and the Texas High Plains AVA. So the big blue blob up by Lubbock, that is actually where 80% of Texas grapes are grown, is it, in that area.
So, Sarah and James, maybe we start by pairing books with this High Plains wine. Maybe books set in the High Plains, and maybe to kick it off, I'll offer up "The Day the Cowboys Quit" by Elmer Kelton. It's one of my favorite books set in the High Plains. Really tells the story of conglomerates from the East Coast coming in and starting to buy ranches in Texas in the 1880s, and bringing in principles that maybe didn't really fit in Texas, and starting to put some rules around what the cowboys can and can't do. For example, saying that the cowboys can't own cattle of their own. And all of this comes together with really the cowboys going on strike. And it's a book about obviously the High Plains and cowboys, but really about how with progress things change, and not always for the better, and about the resistance that takes place there. James, what do you have?
Can you taste the resistance in the wine a little bit? Is there
maybe a little?
A little bit. Yeah. Well, let me ask you.
Maybe just to breathe,
Ms. Potter. This is so I see here. And I'm no wine expert, but I do happen to see that this says 2021. So that's a bit of a younger wine. Is that correct? Well, fun fact: Larry McMurtry, some author that you may or may not have ever heard of, wrote his first novel when he was 25 years old. Now, that is incredibly young for an author. But he wrote the novel Horsemen Pass By, which takes place on the Texas High Plains. And I noted some similarities, actually, as I was just... This is not written down just because I'm looking at this notebook. This is all off the cuff because I've never had this wine before. And just as I was tasting this wine, I thought, wow, this reminds me of Horsemen Pass By because this wine is so good it makes me angry. And Horseman Pass By was so good it made me angry because no 25-year-old, and by the way, it was published when he was 25, which means in all likelihood he probably started it when he was 23, 24. no 23 or 24 year old has any business writing a novel as good as Horseman Passed by Larry McMurtry, which to me it is his best novel, even despite Lonesome Dove and all the grand things. And I also noticed about this wine, there's a, maybe because it's a white, we haven't got into the big bold reds yet, there's a simplicity to it, if you will, a certain subtle quality. And as someone who loves rich and decadent prose in my novels, I was floored by the fact that McMurtry was able to write this very slim, very compact novel at such a young age that still said so much. And that's what this wine does for me. It says so much without saying a lot at all. I love it so much. And so on to you, Ms. Burke.
Well done. Well done. What could I add to that? Horseman Passed By, could not agree more. Changed my life. Literally, that book changed my life in the sense that I saw the movie, the adaptation, when I was drifting around those backpacking years in
Mr. Paul Newman.
In Europe, and say no more. And I walked. I had been gone for a year and a half. I'd grown up in New Mexico. Walked into that movie, started crying, and went directly to buy a ticket home. But that, you know, in the novel, in on the screen, and in this fabulous wine, we capture the wide open spaces of Texas and the endless possibilities, and the fact that if you got the money, you can drink as much of it as you want, which is super important. The other High Plains. James has just given me permission to put Odessa in the High Plains. Possibly not, but...
For this event only.
Okay. I hope all of you are aware of this novel, Valentine by Elizabeth Wetmore. You know this book? Put it on your list. Put it on your list. It will rearrange your chromosomes. It's so good. Almost as good as Bending Branches, 2021. Pico Blanc.
Well done, y'all. Well done. Okay. Y'all like that wine?
Yeah.
All right, good. Sarah, can we go to the next one?
Okay, so for our next wine, this is our Tanat Frizzante Rosé. So Tanat is our owner's favorite grape. So we make Tanat in many different forms, including this rosé. We have about 6 or 7 different just vineyard-designated red Tanat wines, and then we also make a Tanat port. We're all about Tanat. So this one is just a fan favorite. Everybody loves the Frizzante. It's gently effervescent. It's just fruity and fun, unpretentious.
That sounds like James Wade.
Great for sitting on the porch or lounging by the pool. And it's Texas Hill Country. These grapes were grown in Mason.
Y'all taste your wine. Sarah Bird, you want to kick us off with a book pairing to go with that wine?
Sure. Effervescent, easy sipping wine. You're sitting out on the porch and it's like this gentle breeze. Imagine this perfection of this weather. I think the book you ought to pair with this Frizzante is a light and effervescent book by a wonderful woman named Mary Pauline Lowry. It's called The Roxy Letters. This is an epistolary novel set, kind of pivots around Mary Pauline's reaction to the corporatization of Austin. Ton of fun. I would also, you can't do any better than to sit on the porch with Molly Ivins. Yeah, am I right? God, do we all wonder what she'd be saying now? I think we do. So those are two superb choices. Let me see if I think anything else would go well with this. All right, Stephen Harrigan, the possibly best stylist we have in Texas, has gone on to major heavyweight works. His compilation of articles about Texas, Big Wonderful Thing, as classic for the ages. But early in his career, he wrote a fairly light and effervescent, although heartbreaking and wonderful book that I love. I love this book, A Story of Love and Other Emotions We Have Trivialized to the Point of Forgetting. It's called Aransas, and it's a perfect sipping book.
Very good. James Wade, you want to offer a book to go with this Hill Country wine?
Yeah, you know, again, this notebook is for something completely different. And so what I'm looking at has no bearing on this. This is something that as I'm drinking the wine, you know, book is coming up. And so
fiction writer.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happened when I first tasted this is I thought, my goodness, this is something that is so approachable. Would that be a Miss Potter? Would that be a word? It's a very approachable wine, something that probably could bring a lot of people in, almost like a coffee table book, but that has something lingering underneath that's a little deeper in meaning. And so I wanted to say, this book or this wine reminded me of Between Heaven and Texas. And for those of you that are unaware of this book, it is a beautiful compilation of photography by Wyman Meinzer, poems by local poet Naomi Shihab Nye, and it has an introduction by a very little known and perhaps maybe one day she'll have her career author named Sarah Bird. And it is beautiful. Oh, did you forget that you wrote the introduction to that book? Is that what just happened? The cloud book. Absolutely. I mistakenly called it Between Heaven and Texas, but the official unofficial name is apparently the cloud book. It's a wonderful portrayal of our state. And I think this wine does the same thing because, like you said, it's grown here in Mason, just down the road in the Hill Country. And I love that because so much of the wine world is here in the Hill Country, but so many of the grapes are grown in Lubbock. So how cool that Bending Branch has a wine that is truly a local Texas Hill Country wine. I love that so much. And Stephen Harrigan, which great, great find there. It actually reminded me of my buddy, Jim Haley. He writes under James L. Haley, and he wrote a novel that this rosé I couldn't help but be reminded of, called The Lions of Tsavo. And the reason that I thought of this is I'm going to give you a pitch here. I'm going to tell you a story, and you tell me if you've heard this before, okay? There is a railroad being built in Africa, and a young lieutenant is there to oversee the railroad being built. But two lions keep eating all the railroad workers, and they have to call in a hunter to put down the lions. Is that familiar? Ghost in the Darkness. That is correct. Well, Jim Haley wrote The Lions of Tsavo, which is that exact story, about 4 years before Ghost of the Darkness came out. And lo and behold, when the movie came out, Jim had no idea that someone had used his novel as a script. And... and being the young, not wanting to make waves author that he was at the time, he did not seek legal action. And to this day, he gave me the book and signed it to Val with love because he's had a great career as a writer. But anyway, it reminded me of that because there's a blending. There's a blending between books and Hollywood, and there's a blending of, to me, a rosé. It's not quite a red. It's not quite a white. But yet we still love it. Do we not?
We do.
I feel like we do. All right.
Well done. Well done. Well done. I don't know how to follow that, but well done. So, yeah, Smoky Blackberries. So I'll offer up a book called The Sky, the Stars, and the Wilderness by Rick Bass. So not a novel, but a collection of novellas. The namesake story in that book, The Sky, the Stars, and the Wilderness, is set in the Hill Country. Just a bit west of here, and is a story written from a daughter's perspective about her family's connection to the land out in the Hill Country, the loss of her mother, and really just her family out here in the Hill Country. And I highly encourage it to all of you. And I don't have the words that James has got, which is why he writes books, and I don't. Sarah Potter, can we go to the third wine?
Sure can. So wine number three is our Branch Texas Red. It is a blend. It's a dry blend. You will find notes of, blackberry, boysenberry, and black oolong tea. So it is actually six different grape varieties. So Tannat, of course, Alicante Boucher, Petit Syrah, Tempranillo, Mourvèdre, and Petit Verdot. So it's very juicy, also quite approachable. This is one you might find at your HEB store. $16 bottle of wine. It's quite a bargain. It's delicious.
So that first taste you get, that's front palate, mm-hmm. right?
And then how it feels going across your tongue, that's yep. your mid palate. And then the finish, of course, is kind of how long you still taste it on
teaching
your palate.
You all how to, teaching y'all how to taste wine today, yeah. too. We're not just drinking. Well,
right.
yeah. I'm just trying to justify being able to do this again. Okay, so since we have a nice blend wine here, why don't we see if we can pair this with a collection of short stories? All right.
I, again, completely spontaneously, when I tasted this beautiful blend, I thought, my goodness, this reminds me, and Ms. Potter, you'll have to re-educate me. So it's a blend of different red varietals, but what would you say, or like, what's the percent, what's the base grape? Like, what
the
is it the most?
The biggest amount yeah. is Tannat.
Tannat, okay. So that's exactly what I thought, so thank you for confirming that. appreciate that. But Benjamin Sands, who is just a Texas literary treasure. In fact, he just this year or next year is going to be inducted into the Texas Letters Hall of Fame, which I think maybe somebody on this panel might already be in that Hall of Fame. Anyway, it's not me. And so Benjamin had a short story collection that actually won the National Book Award not too far back called Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club. And I chose this not just because short stories are a short story collection is a blend of short stories, but there's something about this wine that always brings you back to that base, right? I mean, anything can be a blend, right? When I was a little kid, I would throw carrots in my milk. That's a blend. But there's something that's
it's not a good one.
It's not a good one. There's something that is so perfectly chosen and weighed and measured about the amount and percent of each grape that goes into this that always brings you back to that base. And so what Benjamin did in this absolutely brilliant short story collection, again, that won the National Book Award, it's called Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club, is each of his short stories, which seemingly didn't have much in common other than their location in El Paso and Juarez, they all either began or ended or had some pass through to this bar in Juarez called the Kentucky Club. So that was the base of the collection, just like we have the base of this beautiful red blend. And if there was a National Book Award for wines, my God, I would put this up in a heartbeat right now. Cheers.
James obviously also wants to be able to be invited back to do this again.
Well done. Well done. Could not agree more. Let me see what I'm going to pick up here. I'm getting tastes of family strife, infidelity, possible homicide. Yes, I think your beautiful blend here has got to accompany this beautiful blend. Yes, gasp. For those who know, Olympus. Yeah, take my picture so I can show Stacy how much she's a fantastic woman, fantastic writer. This is a great book. It was chosen by Good Morning America, and it's the story of a ne'er-do-well returning to his family. And it has its basis around Greek mythology. So all that, oh, you're nodding like you know. You've read this book? All the characters refer to somebody in Greek mythology. And, you know, they, pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought somebody said something. And it's a delicious, delicious, full-bodied book, just like this blend. And since we're just like, you know, going into a kind of potpourri of blends here, I'm just going to throw out not necessarily a Texas book, but somebody I love to recommend because I just love Charles Portis. And some of his books pass through Texas, but I always have to nod to Charles Portis, the master. There was no one like him before. There's not going to be anyone like him afterwards. I would put him on your list. Another book I have to reference is No Name on the Bullet, a biography of World War II hero Audie Murphy by Don Graham. And the reason I'm mentioning this book is because my mother double dated with Audie Murphy. and Don interviewed my mom for this book. So, you know, if you're going to blend that in, why not? Why not just... not with her, because my mom was tall. Audie Murphy, very short. Very short. But I'm sure that date could have been vastly improved with a couple of crates of... Branch Grace? Texas Red. Wow. Here's to Audie. Here's to Branch Texas Red.
Well done, Sarah. All right, and I will offer up a book that I bet a lot of you don't know. So a number of years ago, Texas singer-songwriter Radney Foster lost his voice for an extended period of time, and Radney started to wonder about what his career as a singer-songwriter was going to be like if he couldn't talk, if he couldn't sing. And so he started writing stories down and wrote a book called For You to See the Stars. And it's a collection of short stories, the first of which is set down in Big Bend, one of my favorite places on earth. James, I know it's one of yours as well. Again, talking about family and loss. But this collection is quite a blend. He's got all over the map. He's got kind of a post-apocryphal story in it. He's got stories about fly fishing. He's got stories about teenage love. He also... released an album that goes with it as well. And at the end of each story, there's a companion song that goes with it, which is pretty cool. So I would recommend For You to See the Stars by Radney Foster. All right, Sarah, you got one last wine for us?
Okay, last but not least is our 2019 Texas Tannat. This is our signature red wine. You'll find this in HEB and many spec stores. It's very bold and dry, mysterious, smoky blackberry, sage. There's a joke there I don't know about. Some cherry flavor, lots of tannins.
I will say, a Tannat is not only my favorite Bending Branch wine, but it's just my favorite grape, and it's the national grape of Uruguay.
That is correct. Yeah.
There you go. It is. Goes good. A Tannat goes really good with brisket.
Yes.
Or gumbo.
Or a big steak.
A big steak, yeah. Okay, so as Sarah said, it's kind of smoky. There's some mystery there. So maybe some books set in Texas with an element of mystery or intrigue. I'll start by offering up Isaac Storm by Eric Larson. This is a book that really almost novelizes, it's nonfiction, but almost novelizes the 1900 hurricane in Galveston, which really changed the landscape, not only of the coast, but Galveston at the time was rivaling New Orleans as a port. And it's only because of that hurricane that Houston ended up being the port and the city that it was. So I give you the Isaac Storm by Eric Larson. James, what do you have that's kind of mysterious?
Yeah, so that's a great selection. And it actually just made me think of, and for the first time all afternoon, this came into play. I just wrote this down. Matt Bondurant's Oleander City is another great novel that talks about that 1900 hurricane in Galveston. And I like it because Matt does this amazing thing. And for those of you who may think that you've heard the name Matt Bondurant before, he wrote The Wettest County in the World, which got turned into the film Lawless with Tom Hardy and Shia LaBeouf and some folks a while back. And but Matt, this year actually, this is the year of Galveston novels. Matt Bondurant released Oleander City. I know Kim Garza released The Last of the Karankawas that was set in Galveston. And again, a no-name author who may or may not one day make a career for herself in the genre. Sarah Bird released a novel called The Last Dance at Starlight Pier. So great year for Galveston and great year for the Texas Tannet Wine 2019. Now, what I love about this wine is, and I believe you said it, Ms. Potter, this is your signature wine. I mean, this is somebody comes in and they don't want recommendations. They want the one thing that they're supposed to have, right? Okay, so for me, the one author that you're supposed to read is Cormac McCarthy, our Lord and Savior.
I like how you built up to that, like we did with the wine tasting.
Appreciate it.
Very light, ended up very
exactly.
dark. Yeah, I got it.
We got here to the place that we were always going, which is a very McCarthy.
The place you were always going.
A very McCarthy-esque notion. But the book I picked, because here's what's interesting. I picked No Country for Old Men. Is that my favorite Cormac McCarthy book? No. Is it? Well, how can I
book.
Pick between my children? No, I would say probably my favorite McCarthy novel is Sutri. I think. Yeah, I think I love the westerns. I love.
Correct.
I know. I love All the Pretty Horses. I love Cities of the Plains. I think the language in The Crossing is the best. I think the thematics in Blood Meridian is the best. But overall, Sutri, because of the humor that is in it. Anyway. But I picked No Country for Old Men because here's something I noticed about this wine. This wine is a powerhouse, right? This wine is the wine that you go, your friends are going to Comfort. Hell, they're not going to Comfort. They're just going to the Hill Country, and you say go to Comfort because you got to try this wine. Well, if I were to say that about McCarthy, and I'm going to say the first book that they're going to read is Blood Meridian, they're not going to get through it, are they? No, they're not going to get through it because they don't know. It's not approachable enough. It doesn't have. No, but the first thing I noticed about this wine.
That's a whiskey book, James.
That's right. The first thing I noticed about this wine, $30 for a bottle. $30. Not $300. $30. So that's No Country for Old Men is my $30 Cormac McCarthy novel. Just like this amazing $30, cannot believe it's only $30, 2019 Texas Tannet from Bending Branch Winery.
Amen, amen,
good
amen.
Luck,
can we have an amen? Absolutely. Okay, the powerhouse. This is the pick of the litter, the bar, the standard. And P.S., side note, you're looking at the next Cormac McCarthy. So, you know, I'd hold up James's work to encourage you, but I've loaned it. I've loaned? Oh my God, not actually a word. I've loaned. I loaned it out. I want the standard bearer. I want a book to equal the classic 2019 Texas Tannet. And I mean, cliche, yes, true, also, yes. Lonesome Dove. Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. He's written a lot of great books, but the world opened up to him with that book. I would also say, as far as like you can get no finer Texas wine than the Tannet, you can get no finer Texas novel than Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain. This superb, superb novel has the depth of this wine. It's a lot of gravitas while being extremely enjoyable and funny. So it's a full powerhouse wallop of a book to go with a wallop of a wonderful, wonderful wine. Oh, P.S., one less. While we're going best of their class, I'm sort of a rock memoir junkie. And if you haven't read All I Ever Wanted by Kathy Valentine, bassist of the Go-Go's, it is superb. I put it on my list of top rock memoirs up with Patti Smith, Just Kids, Carrie Brownstein's Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl, and some others. But such a great book, so depthy. Same depth that you will get with the Texas Tannet.
Sarah Bird, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything that you have in common with Kathy Valentine, maybe an experience that you both recently had, maybe you both suffered a similar loss. maybe
James Wade, certified asshole. What he is referencing is his whipping of my saggy old ass at the Literary Death Match in Odessa. Yes, I went head to head with James Wade. I thought I'd take on this whippersnapper, this newcomer, show him a thing or two about how's it done. Uh-uh. Guess who won? Guess who took home the belt? James Wade,
our champion. Well, not only did I defeat, again,
a Texas literary
Hall of Famer.
Humiliate is usually the word.
A God-honest rock star in Kathy Valentine.
Yeah, I was okay. I was in good company.
Yeah, you know.
I was in good company.
If only it was an actual competition and not a complete comedy bit in which I was destined
which
to
reigned,
win based on a
reigned.
Coin flip, probably.
He won.
Anyway.
Take the win, James. He deserved it. He's totally deserved it.
Well done, y'all. Well done. All right, gang. Drink your wine. Thank you, James Wade. Thank you, Sarah Bird. Thank you, Sarah
Lonely
Potter.
Loser.
Thank you, Bending Branch Winery, for all of y'all being here. And thank all of you in the audience for coming out and supporting the book festival and for supporting these good writers. Y'all buy their books, get them to sign them, read them, pass them out, lose them in hotels. It's all good.
Thank you for helping us wrap up another successful Bernie Book and Arts Fest. Hope to see you next year. Always first Saturday, October.
Just a few quick things before you go. First, thank you so much for listening. It really does mean a lot to me. If you enjoy the show, please consider subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. Commenting on or rating the show would be great too. You can also go to the website, thedecaledge.com, and sign up for our mailing list so you never miss an episode or a blog post. And did you know the Decal Edge has an online bookstore? There's a link at the top of the website where you can find nearly all of the books that we review or discuss. Maybe most importantly, if you're enjoying the show, is to tell a friend about it. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do it through the contact page on the website. Special thanks to Taylor Weidman for producing the show, for the intro music, and even for designing the Decal Edge logo. I really couldn't do this without Taylor's help, and I'm grateful for his efforts. Want to experience more of Taylor's work? Check out his podcast, the Darmadillo Podcast. That's it for now. We'll have another episode for you soon. Thanks, and God bless.